Here we go. So, welcome everyone to Burgess Power Hour. Yay! Tonight, I love it when Bob does this. If you guys can see, I don't know if you can see
Right,
your
thinking about
phones. He moves his body around. So, thank you for joining us tonight. We are going to be playing with conscious relationships. Dun, dun, dun. Conscious relationships tonight. So, we're going to be playing together and having fun. And also digging down in that subconscious kind of belief around relationships and how we hold them, and see if there's some things we can find out about ourselves and discover. And I'm going to give you tools at the end of this call to support us in having conscious relationships. Okay. So definitely get pen and paper ready because we're going to be doing a little digging. I like poking around with a stick in there. Those of you who do not know me, I am Burge Smith Lyons. I'm the founder of Essence of Being, been teaching it for 31 years. Oh my gosh, I've been on this quest and this personal development journey for 43 years now. So, yeah, taught on six continents. We have a nonprofit. We built a school in Liberia, Africa. We're teaching consciousness to children, adults, and believe it or not, companies. Wouldn't it be nice to have a conscious company? Okay. Well, that's what we are. We're a conscious company, and you guys are all joining us with our Conscious Leadership Academy. I'm also the founder of that we've launched again this year. So welcome, and I'm glad you're here. I will, because we're on Zoom, I decided I'm gonna show a couple of slides tonight just because we're on Zoom, just for fun. But mostly it's going to be us chatting and talking and discovering together. Here we go. Ready? I miss all your welcome, Nathaniel and Cheryl, Keisha, Jamie. You know, I feel like one of those back in the romper room when you had the mirror up. I see joy and I see. Anyway, maybe I'm showing my age too much, and that was back in Atlanta. So what we're going to talk about tonight is three types of relationships. All right. There's the self relationship, what the kind of relationship you have with yourself. There's relationships you have with others. Now, this could be business relationships, friends, parents, family, children, and significant other type relationships. Okay. Those love relationships, kind of intimate types. And then that's the relationship that we have with our connection. What that could be, the universe, it could be God, it could be energy, it could be source, spirit, whatever you want to call your connection. Okay. So tonight, though, we're going to hone in on relationships about others, and specifically about love, intimate relationships as well. I think we want to play with that. Whether you're in a relationship or not, or whether you want to be in one or not, or whether you have been in one or not, this can apply to everybody. Okay. So, what we're going to play with is the subconscious thoughts and the beliefs that we have around relationships and how they show up in our life. And I call that our bubble talk. It's the subconscious thoughts that keep showing up in our life. It's that little bubble above our head
We get
that
both.
you see in the
I know
cartoons, the
that
characters.
it's for me.
Hi, Ellie. I'm going to mute you, honey. Okay. So it's this subconscious thoughts that are going in our heads up here. It's that cartoon character that they think. That's your subconscious. Because you could be saying, I want to have a great relationship. I choose to have companionship. I want to play with people. You know what? I feel like I want to have fun with people. Something like that you might be saying consciously. However, your subconscious might be saying something different, and they may not be aligned. Okay. So a lot of times when people do affirmations, which affirmations I joke, I say they're little lies you tell yourself until they become true. Oh, you guys, this is a tough room. All right. Anyway, yeah. So these little affirmations you might do to say, hey, I'm worthy, I'm wanted, I'm lovable, all of those things when it comes to relationships. Maybe they don't line up exactly the way you want it to, or maybe it did and then you lost it. Okay. So in my world, the belief is that your subconscious is what's running the bus. So you could be having your gas and your brake on at the same time. Your gas is what your consciousness is saying. I'm going to go on a dating app. That's a conscious act. I'm going to go out and meet people. Maybe I'm going to go to a counseling and try to better our relationship if you're already in one. Those are conscious acts that you would do. Well, your subconscious can be the resistance or the brake. You could have your gas and your brake on at the same time, and you might feel stuck. Has anybody ever felt stuck? So it could be that many of us, I do know, I've been working with a lot of thousands of people around the world, and I know that people know how to settle. They know how to let go of the gas. They know how to let go of their desire. And therefore, they just say, oh, well, it is what it is. It's meant to be that way. And they just settle. Instead of letting go of the resistance or the brake, they let go of the gas. So, what we want to do together is to let go of the brake. Cool? Yeah? Good? All right. So, how many of you want to have a conscious relationship, whether you're in a relationship or not right now? Anybody want to have one of those with other people? Maybe. We'll see. Okay. That's okay. No worries. So, like I said, you could be having these subconscious beliefs that saying you're not good enough to have one, or you can't keep one, or maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you've been hurt in a relationship, or maybe you've been betrayed or abandoned. And you could start believing these things about yourself that you're unwanted. Now, this is all subconscious. You don't walk around saying that necessarily, but it could be a belief that's brewing in there. I'm unwanted, or something's wrong with me. And see, we don't know the difference. The brain doesn't know the difference between conscious thoughts and subconscious thoughts. Did you know that? The synapses in our brain fire exactly the same way, whether you're thinking about something or you're looking at it. I'm looking at a red Mercedes, or I close my eyes and think about it. The brain and the synapses in the brain fire the same way. So we accumulate evidence all our life to prove that we're right. Let's say we broke up with a partner. It ends in heartbreak. Or let's say our partner passed away, ends in heartbreak. So maybe we might feel mistrust or unwanted or feeling left out or abandoned or hurt. And then there's a belief that forms around that, such as perhaps can't trust men, can't trust women, they're going to leave me. Maybe can't get in a relationship, I'm going to get hurt. I'll keep them at arm's length. I don't want to be intimate. Or you might be thinking, subconsciously, I'm unlovable. So some of us might put up our shields, right, to protect ourselves. And we walk around in this wounded haze, looking around everywhere we go. And that belief system is formed and embedded, and it stays there. Does that make sense? Yeah, it stays there. Because my belief is that beliefs are eternal until they are re-believed. So maybe you want to get intimate with someone, but you get scared. Or maybe you want to have a deeper relationship with someone you're already in relationship, but you get scared because of past experiences. And those past experiences, they build, right? And so from those experiences, we start gathering evidence. Yep, see, it's going to work again. They're going to do it again. I told you. And we start projecting. We project onto that new person. Let's say it's a new person you meet. And it's the same relationship, different face. You know what I mean? It's like, I thought I got over that. I thought I kicked that guy or that girl to the curb. Why is this happening again? Okay. Who's the common denominator? Indeed. I see fingers pointing. So when we project onto others, this is what I expect. And that's exactly what is going to happen based on our past experiences. So, whenever you blame another person or shame yourself or make excuses, that's all as you, those of you who are Essence of Being graduates, you know what I mean by this. It's below the line. It's below the line. Nothing changes when you start blaming others or shaming yourself or making excuses. Nothing changes. So what I want us to do is to play with this, and we're going to find out we're going to dig around with a stick and find out what's in there about what your belief systems are around all of this. Am I making sense so far? Yes. I love being in person, y'all. I do. Okay. I want to be able to touch you and hear you and all of that. Okay. So I'm going to show my screen because I want to, there's a concept. Well, before I do that, let me say one more thing. I always say this, if you want to learn about yourself or if you want to learn about relationships, if you want to grow, get into a relationship. In other words, if you want to grow yourself, if you get into a relationship, don't they show you all the things that you like or don't like about yourself? Right? Or have a kid. Don't they show you all the things that you like or don't like about yourself? Right? So these relationships inherently, these significant relationships that you have as an adult, when there's a lot of love present, it brings up everything unlike love for the purpose of healing it. That's how you grow. You get to look at a mirror, and that's how you grow and you learn about yourself. But many people who are not conscious don't know that. They just project all of the pain and the upset and the fear and the sadness and the angst and the worry and all of that. They project that onto that person. They don't understand it's about them too. So let me say it again. When there's a lot of love present, everything unlike love comes up for the purpose of healing. If you look at it that way, then it can be something that you can really sink your teeth into. Everything that seems to come up when you're in a relationship can really push your buttons, right? The people closest to you push your buttons the most. It does that on purpose so that you can heal it. And some of us are a little bit stubborn and we don't heal it very quick, do we? So it keeps happening. So what I've always said is all my relationships, I tell people like Brad, who I'm married for now 20, we've been together 27 years this lifetime. That's craziness. Is I always say, hold on, we're going to be in a workshop. If you're going to be in a relationship with me, it's going to be a play shop or a workshop for the rest of our life because I choose to be conscious about it. And let me tell you something, it is not for the lighthearted. It's not. It can be a challenge at times. But the benefit and the benefit of moving through those, the rewards are just powerful and worth it. So anything that comes up, we might as well go ahead and deal with each other because we're going to keep recreating it in our relationships over and over and over again until we actually heal whatever the block is. And oftentimes it starts from what's our very first relationship we have?
Her parents.
Yes, our parents or the people that raised us. Okay. That's kind of our first experience, whoever raised us. So the other thing I want to say about relationships in general is that, now this is a concept I hope you can grab onto, that we attack what does not satisfy us in order to avoid seeing that we created it. Let me say it again. We attack what does not satisfy us to avoid seeing that we co-created it. We attack what does not satisfy us in order to avoid seeing that we co-created it. Obviously, now this is if you believe that your thoughts create reality, if you believe that you have some type of powerful way to create things in your life, okay? Obviously, we want to avoid things if we don't like them, right? And people will take credit when things happen really great in your life. You go, yeah, I did that. I'm doing good, man. I'm in the flow. My thoughts are clear. I'm focusing on what I want. It's happening. I'm creating that. But when things don't happen the way we want them to necessarily, sometimes it's hard to look at and say, oh man, I didn't create that. That wasn't my fault. Now, this is a very, very high vibrational concept. Okay. And you can just chew on it for a little while. If you're not clear on this or if you're not sure about it, that's okay. So if something that you want or don't want, really you can look at it and say it, I co-created it. So if you do that though, if you say I co-created it, can you do something about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you say it's not my fault, I can't do anything about it, then that keeps you stuck, doesn't it? It keeps you a victim. So the cool part about this is if you can find out what you're co-creating and really take responsibility or ownership of your own thoughts and your own beliefs and your own actions, you can change things. Make sense?
I just want to pose the argument
Uh-oh.
that
Go ahead.
you can co-create a car crash.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that you necessarily went
No,
for it.
you're not thinking about a car crash. You're not thinking consciously, I'm gonna do something like that. You have now, here's the rub, okay? And you don't have to believe this. If you believe, if you can be willing to just think about having an eagle's eye view of everything, that everything kind of is, we're all connected in some form or fashion, perhaps, and that we have, if you believe in or if you know about law of attraction, which is a universal concept that people, and I teach it in Asia, and they haven't heard of that yet, but the law of attraction is a vibrational match. Basically, what you vibrate, you create. What you vibrate, you're sending out into the world and you attract back to you. It matches somehow, whether it's opposites or whether it's exactly like attracts like on a vibrational, energetic way. Okay. So, of course, we don't sit around and think about these things necessarily. They're not conscious. Now, who knows if that car crash was something that maybe something happened that was in your favor that you weren't even aware of. If you hadn't have done that, then something worse would have happened. I don't know. You always want to look for the gift, even if it sucks. And we did that on one of our leadership calls in our conscious leadership. If there's a lot of poop around you, look for the pony. There's got to be a pony in there somewhere. Right? Okay. All right, so stay with me. Now I'm going to show you this concept. Some of you know if you've done Essence of Being, I just want to remind you of this wonderful concept about how many of you have ever fallen in love? Yeah? Okay. What happens when you fall?
If you fall, you could get hurt.
Yes, but yes, and you splat. Right? It splat, you fall, it ends. It hurts. That's right. So Buckminster Fuller, who is one of my favorite people that I have worked, I'm a direct lineage of what he does. One of his concepts that he's come up with or he came up with was orbiting in love. Instead of falling in love, can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Good. Instead of falling in love, try orbiting in love. And what that means is here you are, a whole and complete person. Okay? You're whole and complete. Then you attract someone to you that's also whole and complete. If you are not feeling whole and complete and you're looking for someone to fill your hole, I don't mean physically necessarily. Okay? Waka waka. I'm talking about feeling that void, feeling that somehow sometimes we feel empty and we're looking for someone to say, please love me enough so that I know that I'm lovable. Prove to me that I'm lovable. And what ends up happening is you attract someone that matches that perhaps. And that's not feeling whole and complete within yourself, having that self-love, which is a whole nother class, okay? But having that self-love and knowing that you are complete and whole, and you don't need another person necessarily to prove to you that you're lovable and wanted, because you are, and believe that. Therefore, who will you attract to you? Someone else, perhaps, that feels the same way. But what happens? So you're in your own orbit. You're not asking each other to fill each other's void. But what happens here is something magical. Instead of contracting, instead of having two go into one, and now we are one, you complete me. It's very romantic, very Jerry Maguire, that movie, Tom Cruise, you complete me. It's very romantic. But what it's doing energetically is you're putting life force. You're saying, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm not complete. That's why so many people are devastated when someone dies or someone leaves. And it's like, who am I now? I was their better half. I was a half person. We say it in our society. It's our better half. Well, again, what does that make you, a half person? No, we're whole and complete. But what happens instead of contracting into one, we actually expand, and the magic happens right in the middle where we connect and we become more than. So there's me and there's you, and together it makes us a whole nother energy, a whole nother entity. It's called synergy. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. One plus one equals three. And how you hold that shape is the magic. What you expand together creates this incredible something that you could not do by yourself. So when you have someone else in your life and you're orbiting in love, you are whole and complete, and you're building and creating something bigger than you can by yourself. Now, if they leave, if something happens, of course you'll feel sad. Of course you'll be, upset. Those things happen, those feelings happen, but you're not going to lose you. You're not going to lose who you are. Does that make sense? So this is an interesting concept, isn't it? For those of you who have not experienced that before. And my husband and I, Brad, we believe in it so much that we created orbiting in love sculptures and had that ceremony within our cer in our wedding. Instead of doing the unity candle, we did the orbiting in love sculptures. So we create something bigger when we're together. Yeah. Any questions about that? I love that con. I just love that, because it really does make a lot of sense, so that you're not asking another human being to fill you up. People try, don't they? It's called the honeymoon stage. They try to fill you up. They try to make you feel loved. They try to do everything right for you, and you try to do everything right for them, and everything's all lovey-dovey, and then things happen and things can break down, and then what do you mean you're not going to love me the way I need you to love me right now? What do you mean about that? Okay, and things happen, and therefore that's when all the breakdown happens, because it's exhausting. If you think about it, it's exhausting to ask another human being to constantly be filling you up, because they are doing the same thing. They want the same thing. They're trying to fill themselves up, trying to fill you up. They want that too. So it's a freedom. If you can look at it this way, it's a freedom of creating something bigger than yourself and expanding it. And that's where the magic is, okay? And you can just take that on for side. It's not, to me, it's very rewarding living in that kind of relationship. But if you don't resonate with that, that's fine too. But it's another way to look at it, okay? But right now, I want to look at your subconscious beliefs. We're going to do some writing, some stream of consciousness writing. And what that means is, I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to edit it. I don't want you to figure it out. I want you to write down the first things that come up. Okay. I'm going to say a sentence, and you finish the sentence, and you write down one or two things that come up. Okay. And again, this is just for you. So be honest with yourself and just make it stream of consciousness. You ready? Okay, here we go. In a relationship, men are supposed to. In a relationship, men are supposed to what? Just jot down one or two things. First things. Finish up on the one you're on. And guess what the next one is? In a relationship, women are supposed to what? In a relationship, women are supposed to write down the first things. And finish up on the one you're on. And the third one. What I learned about relationships from my mom or female caregiver, right? What I learned about relationships from my mom or a female caregiver is what? What'd you learn? Write down the first thing. How did she treat your dad or other men or other women? The next one, as you might guess, what I learned about relationships from my dad. Or my male caregiver. What I learned about relationships from my dad is what? What'd you see? What'd you learn? What'd you hear? Finish up on the one you're on. And the next one. What I learned from my culture. How to treat women is how I learned from my culture or society. How to treat women is And then the next one, of course, what I learned from my culture or society, how to treat men, is what I learned about from my culture or society, how to treat men is finish up on the one you're on. And the last one, what I choose in a relationship is. What I choose in a relationship is let me give you a clue. How do you want to feel? What do you choose? What you laughing at, Joey?
Thinking how it would feel.
Okay, finish up on all that. You can always come back to that. By the way, if you've registered for this Power Hour, you will get the recording in your email tomorrow. You'll get the recording that you can download and have, so that if you want to go back to this and go, what did she say? And what was the, what were those questions? And what does that mean? You can do that. Okay. So, who would like to share anything? Any ahas or awarenesses, perhaps how you've been treated in a relationship, or how you treat people in a relationship, and maybe there's some coincidences and some patterns. Did you uncover? Yes, Elliot.
Well, don't all jump at once. I see a direct reflection of my parents and what I'm looking for in relationships, a shadow, if you will. Both of my parents were very independent and not, I mean, my mother's been married six times. My dad is non-monogamous and never really stuck it out. And so for me, I see that I really lean into attachment. I want devotion and play, and I want my energy into the relationship rather than out of the relationship, which I feel was what I learned from my parents.
So you went the opposite. Right. We do that as well. We say, I'm never going to be like my parents. I'm never going to act that way. And then we do the opposite of what we were raised with, because maybe we saw the heartbreak or the upset or the sadness or the discontent or any of those things. And we don't want to, who wants that in their life? Right? Yeah. So how, and that's shown up in your life, in your relationships. Yeah. Leaning into that attachment. Okay. Has it been working for you?
Currently fully unattached. So,
Okay. So when in terms of seeing things attached and not attached, I can understand that for sure. And so the things that you want to ask yourself, all of you, about any of these patterns or these awarenesses or these things that you see, is it serving me? And what I mean by that is you might feel safe. You might feel like, well, it's serving me because I'm safe. And yet it could be totally opposite of what you really want to choose to have in a relationship or to be alone. Perhaps. Heshi, you had your hand up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elliot. Awesome.
So, like Elliot, everything is not only opposite, but extremely opposite. It's like women were second-class citizens. So, I believe in women's rights and everything else. Men were dominant. My mother was submissive. My father was overbearing. And at the very end, really, what I wrote down is I want everything to be equal. I believe in equality for people in general around the world. I don't think anyone is better than anyone else. I have a husband who's really supportive, you know that. And he does for me what I never had growing up. And that's really important to me because I never had a role model. It was like running away from everything, from everybody telling me what I had to do, what I could do, what I couldn't do. And just looking at this exercise from beginning to end, it's like I don't want to be anything like anything I was growing up until my father died and, birds, all this. And I became my own person. So I learned what I didn't want and not what I did want, which really
Well,
sucks, but
let me reframe that for you, honey, because as you know, contrast leads to clarity. So the contrast that you had growing up led you to being clear about what you don't want. So that led you to what you do want, and that's what you chose, and that's what you stepped into. So it was a powerful lesson for you. So you got very clear, and you co-created it.
It wasn't until Essence of Being that that I really became very clear, because that was just like such a huge eye-opener for me.
Yeah. And you've been just stepping into it, honey, and playing with that whole thing. So kudos to you. And it only gets better.
Well, I want to say one thing is that I'll start crying. It's like you have been there for me. And I know when I've had some major breakthroughs, you've been with me, even in sink or swim, literally.
Indeed. Indeed, Heshi. Yes, my friend. Yes. And you deserve to have everything that you want, and that you deserve to have a powerful relationship with yourself and with others, and what you do in the world is so worth it. So thank you for making a difference, honey. And it's my honor to be with you at any breakthrough.
You're
Because you're
always
breaking free. You're
welcome.
breaking free. So thank you. Thank you for being on the call tonight too. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie. Your hand's up and you're muted still, my friend. You're still muted, honey.
Got it. Okay.
There you are.
Sorry, this is the new phone. Sorry about that. Thank you so much. So I've noticed, especially recently, whereas like my parents for I was adopted, and so like my adopted parents, that family, like they're still together by and large, they're pretty stable. And I noticed my relationship patterns are extremely different. And I'm getting to know my biological family, and I've noticed that my patterns mimic theirs extremely, like a ton. And I've only really known about that since now. Do you have anything to, I don't know.
Wow.
Is that a thing?
Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's it really dives into that, is it nurture or nature, question. Okay. So now, when you were adopted, were you a baby?
I was a baby. Yeah, I was 2 days old.
Is okay.
And
So
I found out recently that like my they adopted me in the hospital, and my biological mother was listening to me cry, and they like, had taken me away from her. They wouldn't let her come to me, and she came and she tried to snatch me back, and then they took me back. And so like I was like, oh, that sounds like a lot of my trauma. But
yes, that's what I was going to say, is that there's this I've done a lot of birth. I'm a birth doula and a death doula, and there's a lot of evidence and research around birth and about before you're born and the womb and all that, and the energy of all of that, that everybody has their own beliefs about it. But there has been a lot of studies on birth and before birth, and you were listening and hearing and being a part of perhaps what was going on. That so the question I have for you and anybody else, at what age do you become conscious? When you're 18? When you're born? When you wake up and go, I'm conscious now? Right? So
question.
there, the brain does form physiologically in this thing, but my point is, when does consciousness begin? And I don't want to go into all of that because there's so many, everybody has their beliefs about that. However, you get to decide. And that just proves right there to me that, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? That you connected with what was when you were born, before you were born. So
Thank
that's cool. Yeah, that's
Thank you.
cool. I had an iPhone person that had their hand up, and then Bob. But if the iPhone,
Yes.
yes.
Hi.
Hi. Hi,
Good evening. My name is Natalia.
Natalia.
How are you? I have a question. I grew up in Ukraine, and my parents never were married. They've been together for 20 years. Dad was abusive. They lived together, then they would separate. He was very abusive. He cheated on my mom, right? So he wasn't always in my life. And I feel like I repeated the pattern of the, and my mom would always forgive him, right? And we get back to him. And I would see him put his hands on my mom and doing all these things. And she would always come back to him. And then when I met, I have three children. When I met my kid's dad, the same happened to me. And we stayed alive together for 11 years, and we finally separated a couple months ago. My question is, like, and also I feel like in a man, because I didn't have dad living with me in a house, I feel like I'm always looking for a man to be like a dad for me, you know,
Yes.
to like, because I didn't get that love, you know, and that
Right.
support.
Right.
And meet a guy like recently I did. I feel like I want to rely on him in everything, right? All that support, but I understand that it's not right, and that breaks the relationship, you know? I mean, I just like those questions.
Now, yeah. First of all, take a deep breath.
Yeah, I feel like crying.
I know, honey. So just take a deep breath. You're good. Crying is good. Crying is, we love crying. But here's the thing, sweetheart. And number one, my heart goes out to your family and friends or whoever's still in Ukraine, and the whole thing there is just, my heart goes out to you. I want to just acknowledge that. Second of all, yes, we learn from our parents, and we learn those ways of being with our parents, and that's our only role model that we see typically. And do not, my thing I want to say to you is, please refrain from beating yourself up and feeling guilty that you have, quote, fallen into the same patterns and looking for a man to protect you, because maybe what you wrote down, and for many of us, we write down our dads are supposed to protect us.
Right.
Our dad, you know, it depends, but some most people's belief is a lot of that. They're supposed to protect us, they're supposed to support us and be there for us. Okay.
Right.
And that could be what you've been looking for all your life. And so therefore you project that looking for it onto other men to say, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? And then
Right.
you end up with
Yeah.
the same kind of feeling, right? Like your mom, what your mom went through. And
Right.
so you get to look at that now and say, I'm not my mom.
Right.
I'm not my mom. Those were her beliefs, and those beliefs are not serving me any longer. And I choose something different. And the opposite of guilt around all of this, any of you feeling guilty about any of this? If you're feeling guilt, the best, what is going to happen is you are going to keep attracting punishment.
Right.
Because guilt demands punishment. And you will self-sabotage, or you will attract something to you to punish you. So the
Right.
opposite of guilt is what, Natalia? What's the opposite of guilt, honey?
Innocence.
Yes, innocence. Somebody said it. I didn't tell you. Joy, yes. Innocence. So you have your three beautiful children. They're innocent. Were you born innocent?
Yes, I guess.
Were you born innocent?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. There's no guessing in that.
Right.
All right. So really own that part of you. That innocent little girl is still there.
Thank you. I
That
appreciate
innocent girl is still there. And she and the good part about all of this is what you're finding out is you now can do something about it, honey. You can shift it. You don't have to keep repeating the same patterns in the belief systems.
Right.
And I really encourage you to come play with us with Essence of Being, and there's more. We could get to a lot more than just this call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing that. We have one more left. Bob, what you got, babe?
Trying to lower my hand here and it won't let me. Anyway, what I've discovered is a little more of my bubble talk. And it's rather interesting. You know, the first two questions are what was supposed to be. The second two were what actually was. And in my family, the roles seem to have flipped.
Oh.
Although, let me rephrase that. For my mother, it flipped. But for my father, you know, my father spent most of my childhood pursuing his master's degree. So as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't even there. And you know, then the next two questions are, you know, what I learned from my culture. And I consider this, you know, let me put this in the context of I ended up gay. So anything I learned, I got to start from scratch to begin with. But interestingly enough, you know, I tend to see women which not, and I'm going to go into not good or bad, just notice. I tend to view women as my equals and men not so much. So I get to look at that. But, you know, what I realized is, you know, you talked about settling earlier and it's like, okay, I've been settling. But the other thing is, I'm willing to own that I went opposite because, you know, my parents have been married almost 60 years. My mother's parents almost got to 60 before my grandfather died. My father's parents got to 40 before my grandmother died. So it's like, okay, I went opposite too. Even though I didn't want to, I did.
And what's your takeaway from that?
My takeaway is that I need to do some work on relationships. I know what I know what I want, but you know, I have until recently, I always self-selected myself out.
Got it.
I find somebody I find attractive and I immediately go to, well, they're not going to be interested. And I know I'm aware that I have an underlying conversation of I am not wanted in the space because that's what, and that wasn't necessarily a family thing, that was a cultural thing.
I see.
And it was more around men than women. It
I see.
was a lot more around men than women. So,
And you get to play with and look at, maybe this is not true, but you know, being able to be looking for what's the word? What looking for acceptance from your dad, perhaps. Maybe not. But if we're looking for acceptance for men, maybe that, you know, as far as that goes. And then you get to look at I'm unwanted. So the good news is, Bob, we're heading into our essence of relationships whole thing. We're starting in April with the Conscious Leadership Academy. So you're going to be diving deep into that. And so we'll play with that more for sure. So stay tuned on that one. But this gives you another piece. So obviously, if you came up with I'm unwanted, you would shift it to.
I shifted to I wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully, I've become aware that there has been a lot of healing around being wanted, but it's come about as putting myself into situations where I mean, I literally have to remind myself sometimes, here I am, and I was asked to be here, so that means I'm wanted.
Yeah. Okay. However you can get there works. If it serves you, then keep it, honey, for sure. And the thing I want to say, yes, Elliot, we're out. I've got to go on, but go ahead. Would you get one thing?
Is it okay to ask for reassurance with our partners?
Reassurance for what?
As possible.
Acceptance?
Yes.
Meaning, do you accept me for me?
Continuous, well, a regular
Are
reassurance.
you saying having that conscious conversation with them? Yes, of course. Do you accept me for me? Of course, you can have it's a conscious conversation, communication with your partner. Like I said, digging like that and actually getting real with people, it's very rewarding, but it's, you know, not for the faint heart of heart. Because you want to go there, right? And you want authenticity, you want to know that. Now, you're not asking, you know, accept me for who I am so I can accept me for who I am. That's something different. When you ask somebody, do you accept me from the point of view of love me enough so I'm lovable so I can believe it, then that's not what I'm talking about. You have to look at what is your intention of asking. Is it to feed your own feeling that you're wanted and that you are accepted? Or is it so that they see you for who you are? Yeah. So its intention is critical. So I want to give you guys some tools. We're running, oh, we had so many sharings tonight. Good grief. I was going to do a whole nother thing, but come to the Conscious Leadership Academy. We're doing relationships for the next whole quarter, you guys, Essence of Relationships. And we have a class online and in person for us to play with this even deeper. I'm going to give you some links here at the end on the chat so that you can go check it out and see what how you can keep playing with this. But I wanted to give you some tools before we go for you to be able to utilize as whatever you found out so that you can have some tools. And remember, these patterns that you have, they can you're going to attract someone that's going to fit that pattern. So by looking at your own patterns and your own belief systems, you're going to attract that until you rethink it or re-believe it for yourself because you're the common denominator. And you get to look at was were you raised with a single parent or divorce? Was it unhappy? Was it extended family? Was there abuse, neglect, unhealthy communications? Those are some of the highlights of some of the things. Or maybe it was wonderful and warm and beautiful and compassionate and no ego at all. And if that's the case, I would love to meet that family. Okay. Because again, thousands of people I've worked with, right? All around the world. Everybody wants to, they all want the same thing to be loved, to know they're loved, to know that they make a difference, and then to know that they matter and that they're safe. Okay. So the tools I want to give you, I was going to teach you some more, but sharing's better, right? So a couple things for relationships is the law of appreciation. So if you're in a relationship now, or if you want to have a relationship that you would like to create more of a conscious one, utilize that law of appreciation. I told you about law of attraction. Again, very simplified, what we think we create, what we vibrate, we attract. What our energy goes out, flows, that's what comes back to us. Okay. And to be conscious of those things, and the more conscious we are of it, the easier it is for us to shift. If it's not working for us, we can do something about that. Well, law of appreciation is another universal law. And what I mean by that is you pick one thing that you can appreciate. If you're in a relationship now, pick one thing you can appreciate about that person. If you're not in a relationship now, think about one of your biggest relationships you've had, and think about one thing you appreciate or appreciated about that person. And when you do that, when you're putting your mind and your emotions and your energy into appreciation and gratitude, it raises your own vibration. So when you think about a relationship that perhaps you'd like to create a new one, or you want to deepen the one you're in, okay, you think about appreciation and gratitude. What did you love about that person? Okay, what did you appreciate? And then it raises your vibration up enough to where you are vibrating gratitude and you're vibrating what you really want, because whether you're with that person or not, okay, you will attract to you more of that, because it's law of appreciation and law of attraction together. Okay, so you're attracting what you're vibrating, and if you're vibrating the gratitude and the appreciation, and it can be something very small. When my husband brings me coffee in the morning, I stop and I just am so appreciative and gratitude, and our day goes on a lot better the rest of the day because I'm in gratitude, because I've raised my vibration up instead of me saying, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, what about that, I don't like that. Okay, so it raises it up. So that is a very powerful tool. And the other thing to use is, for me, the truth is, so this is more a little bit into the communication realm, however, for me, the truth is, if you start every conversation that could be maybe a conflict, or maybe you know you're going to step into a hornet's nest, or you're in a relationship, or you want to be in one, when you say, for me, the truth is, they can't argue with you. They can disagree with what you're saying, but they cannot argue and say, that's not your truth. So what that does is it holds your shape. You hold your shape. You hold what you, so that you're not afraid to speak and use your voice and say, for me, the truth is, I feel, I know, I see. Use I words. Okay. Using I words is incredible. Instead of, you did this and you did that and you make me feel, that makes my skin crawl. I didn't make you feel. Now, my behavior made you feel a certain way, perhaps. Okay, but if you use I words with any relationship, whether it's business or love or whatever relationship you're in or that you want to be in, okay, is say, for me, the truth is, this feels bad. For me, the truth is, I feel this hurts me. This hurts me. Not you hurt me. So if you do that, it's a whole other way of talking and communicating with someone, which again, in our Conscious Leadership Academy, we're going to communication the third quarter, but it gets even deeper into the okay. Nathaniel, did you want to say something? No? Yes? Okay. All right. So those are a couple of tools. And just the other thing is to have empathy, take ownership, and have respect for yourself and your partner. And I was going to go deeper into that, but we're out of time. So, but the empathy, just a quick thing, is just put yourself in their shoes before you react. Having empathy in a relationship is really powerful. And you can say things like, I can only imagine how you feel. I imagine that you wouldn't trust me. I know you must be frightened. Those types of things is an empathetic, it raises your empathy chip, okay? So it's a conscious way of speaking together. And ownership means, of course, acknowledging your own beliefs, your own impact, and your own thoughts, right? And use those I word statements. And the last thing is respect. Respect yourself or respect the other person. That gets you out of that codependent behavior you have in relationships. So for many of us, we want to rescue and we want to take care of. And we want to come and here I come to save the day. And what you do when you're doing that, you could be disrespecting their own autonomy. And so in relationships, oftentimes, okay, we go into rescue mode. And it becomes very codependent. And we don't allow the other person, it's sort of like with children, you don't want them to fall, but they have to fall to learn, don't they? Yeah. And you want to catch them before they fall, but if they fall, they learn. And that's a tough, it's one of those, as parents, we go through that. But that's respecting their autonomy and their learning process. So we do the same when we're adults. And some of us really never get, we never really release that need to rescue, okay? Which is the opposite of that is respect. Respect them and respect yourself enough to tell the truth, okay? So I went through these very quickly. I apologize, we're over. And Claudia, you have your hand up?
Yes, Bird. Love all that. All this conversation is fabulous, and we're going to be talking more about that next month, actually.
Yes, what I was about to say, Claudia is going to be doing conflict resolution and how to have conscious communication next month. And that is going to be the third Wednesday of every month. And the next one is, I had it
April
written down.
17th.
It is May 18th. Yeah. No, May
April
18th.
17th.
April
April
17th.
17th.
I'm wrong month. April 17th. April 17th. Claudia's going to be sharing with us conflict resolution and conscious communication. So please join us then. And I hope you had, if you go to the chat, you'll see that I put in our next Essence of Being. We're having the only one we're having this year in Atlanta is April 4th, 12th through the 14th. And it's a little link there for you to go to it. And also, we invite you to come play with us at our Conscious Leadership Academy. And you can come to our leadership calls every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. to play with us, to be able to go deeper into all of these things every week if you choose to. And there's a little link right there, essenceofbeing.com/CLA preview, where you can come on Tuesday. And if you want more about relationships specifically, essenceofbeing.com/EOR, which is Essence of Relationships. And we're actually doing a live event with that May 18th. And we're going to be doing virtuals, but just check us out and any of those. And please contact us. And I can't wait to hear what Claudia has to say next April. I'm like, where am I now? What month are we in?
March, April. We're going to continue part of this conversation, which is super powerful and so amazing. I did want to ask you a quick question because it was in the chat and I thought it was brilliant. Keisha was asking, how do you shift into that mindset of I am wanted?
Oh, well, come to Essence of Being. Okay. I mean, bottom line, come to Essence of Being. There are many ways. It's a practice, though. It's like anything else. It's taken you this long, however old you are now, for you to have those beliefs, right? So it can shift overnight, and sometimes it takes practice. Sometimes you get to see the new evidence. So being mindful about looking for new evidence that you are one. And there's a whole process that we do in Essence of Being about feeling wanted, but also about innocence. There's a process that I could share with you that you can do anytime in a mirror, in a mirror process. But bottom line is you can look in the mirror and you say, I'm wanted. And you can look at that little person, get a picture of yourself when you were little. If you want to breathe into and feel into your innocence more, get a picture of yourself when you were a little person. Put it on your mirror every day when you're brushing your teeth. And say to that person, you are innocent and you are wanted. And you say it 10 times, you breathe in between, Then you look in the mirror and say the same thing. You are innocent and you are wanted. And you say that 10 times in the mirror. And then you change it to, I am innocent and I am wanted. Okay. And you say that 10 times. So it's a process, and it's a little ritual you can do every morning when you're brushing your teeth, and just be mindful and notice new evidence around you that that's what you're vibrating now. Okay. So that's it. It's a practice, and you can shift it. So thank you for that question. I didn't see that. Thank you, Claudia. I hope she's still there. Keisha, are you still there?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's more to come, hon. So essence of being, we shifted on a cellular level, and I appreciate all of you tonight. Keep playing with us in our Conscious Leadership Academy. Come play with us. And we'll see you next time.
Join us for the next Power Hour.
Next Power Hour. Can't wait.
Yes.
Thank you all. Thank you all for playing. And everybody will get a recording of this. Okay?
Thank you, Burge.
All right.
Thank you, Burge.
You're welcome. You're welcome.